This is Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrig. On Tuesday, 26th of November, Pope Francis issued his first apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, translated into English as The Joy of the Gospel, a document in which the Pope shares with us his perception for a missionary church, whose doors should always be open, in which he touches on a number of different themes. Among them, evangelization, peace, homiletics, social justice, the family, faith in politics, ecumenism, interreligious dialogue, the role of women and of the laity in the church, and of course respect for creation. I asked the Tablet's Rome correspondent and former colleague, Robert Mickens, to join me in studio to comment on the style and language of this 224-page document.
The whole kind of event of Pope Francis, what we've witnessed in the last 8-9 months, has been kind of encapsulated in this document, this apostolic exhortation. One of the things I like to tell people when they ask me about the Francis effect or, you know, what kind of pope is this, I like to point to or say he's a man of word and witness. And when I say word, this style of speaking, which we've come accustomed to.
The metaphors that people love.
The metaphors. I mean, it's a very direct, it's a simple, a warm kind of way of engaging people. It's heart to heart. As a matter of fact, in the apostolic exhortation, he talks a lot. He spends a lot of time on the homily during our liturgies and how very, very important the homily is. And he talks about speaking directly, briefly, heart-to-heart kind of conversation. And I think that's what he's been doing the entire pontificate with his Wednesday general audiences. He often leaves the text and engages his listeners in this vast crowd of listeners and directly engages them. He says, "Do you agree with me?" And they
repeat those words.
He says, "Say it again. Okay, let's repeat it together. Let's stop a moment for silent prayer and then we'll say a Hail Mary." I mean, a pope hasn't done this in so long. I think the last time that we had a brief look at this was John Paul I. And the older listeners will remember, and, you know, he only gave 4, I think, Wednesday general audiences, but how surprised everyone was that first general audience when he called up a little boy, an altar server, and he used him as a way of demonstrating how God loves us. And he asked the little boy, "When you're sick, what does your mother do?" He says, "I've never been sick." He says, "Oh, lucky you."
His question backfired.
But that kind of style, I think we haven't seen that directly. Of course, John Paul II was a master of the grand gesture and was kind of an icon. But Francis is very much engaging people one-on-one. Even in the square, when he moves around when they drive him around on the Jeep, he's looking at each individual person. So he's making contact with individuals rather than this vast throng of anonymous people. And that's very charming. So that's the word, but that also is the witness. I mean, I think right from the very evening that he stepped onto the balcony overlooking the square, we very quickly realized that he was the real deal. And his style of simplicity, his kind of sense of being so comfortable in his own skin, that's very compelling to people.
The royal we has gone out the window.
That's true. And it's when people say, "Well, did you see the latest document? The Pope said this." And I said, "Well, he says our pontificate and we." And I say, "I suspect that he did not write that." Because, well, we know, I mean, popes can't write everything. And a lot of these very formal kind of letters and addresses, declarations and things, not of a doctrinal level, but of kind of a diplomatic stamp, these are written by other people in the name of the Pope, and they express his intentions. But when you see that style, we and our, you can pretty much guess that someone else wrote it for him.
We speak so much about communication. I'm sure he hasn't had any communications courses. He's a natural communicator, isn't he?
He's a natural pastor. And I think this is what we see in Pope Francis. This is a man who understands what it is to be a priest in the messiness of people's lives. Life isn't perfect. And I like the phrase when he said, when we put together our programs or our theology, we should not be doing it in a laboratory when we're working out our kind of pastoral plans and vision. But we need to do it at the grassroots with people. That's so very clear that this is a man who is much more comfortable being with people who need a kind word, who need encouragement, who don't have lives that are neatly put together, and for whom black and white answers aren't going to be the solution to their problem. So I think this is a man who really draws deeply from the gospel, which he very clearly prays over. You know, the morning homilies that he gives in the Santa Marta daily mass, these are incredible. They're all not written down, but they have been prepared earlier in the morning when he prays. That's very clear. He prays over the readings of the day, and he has this classic kind of formula, 3 points, usually, 3 quick points, and he leaves a very strong impression on people.
That's the Jesuit 3-point explanation, isn't it?
Yes, he's very much marked by his Jesuit formation. That's very clear. Discernment. You remember when he told us, I think, us from the media, quickly after his election, when he had the audience with us, he said he felt at peace. And I think that that is this kind of Jesuit consolation. When the Jesuits discern, there are lights and shadows, there's desolation and consolation. And Francis, I think, felt consolation. It's very clear. And at that moment, he stepped out of the Pauline chapel where he was praying before going to the balcony, and he was in some way transformed. Now, I don't want to make too much out of, you know, transformation, but I think he understood that he had a new mission, and he's embraced that with great gusto, surprising even many people in Argentina who have told me, you know, we've always loved him, but he's so gregarious now, and he's smiling and laughing a lot. We never saw that. And I think that's part of the mission that he's taken on. He realizes that his role as unifier, as the center of unity, as the successor of St. Peter, the bishop of this very important diocese in the life of the whole worldwide church, the primatial see, that his role is in some ways not to beat people over the head, of course, but to in some ways be a cheerleader, to be someone who encourages, someone who helps people come together. He talks about unity a lot, and he talks about joy, and not only talks about it, but he demonstrates it. That's why I say,
that's
I go back
witness.
To this, word and witness. This man embodies it very, very beautifully.
And you were listening there to Robert Mickens, the Tablet's Rome correspondent and former colleague. Our thanks go to him. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.